Radio.
Radio.
X.
The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart.
A very warm welcome to the Evening Show podcast from Radio X with me, Gordon Smart, and producer Vin.
Hello, I'm off mic.
He's off mic. He's busy. He's arranging paperwork. He's doing producer things. I feel like David Attenborough watching a man in his natural habitat.
I'm fiddling.
He's fiddling. Vin, we've had a right old laugh this week. You nearly ended yourself with Foo Fighters.
Yeah.
Which was well worthwhile.
It was good. It was a good gig.
Yeah, good gig.
I'd never seen them before, and it's an experience.
You weren't so complimentary about the pub experience, though, were you? Foo Fighters pub.
No, I really liked the pub. I didn't like how I felt afterwards the next morning. But the pub was great. It was down. It's in Bethnal Green in East London. I think it was up for like a week or something like that.
Yeah.
And it was great. There was all these sort of Foo Fighters artwork all over the wall. Foo Fighters coasters, which are now in my living room.
Now, see, for me, right, the Foo Fighters pub wouldn't be the proper pub experience without Taylor Hawkins punching somebody at the bar. But I once saw him having a fight at the bar. The MTV Awards, I think it was in Lisbon. I can't remember. It's all a bit hazy. But he was wandering around asking people to punch him. And eventually he asked the wrong person who punched. That's how Houdini died.
Someone hit him in
somebody
the stomach.
Somebody just punched him in the stomach without him being ready for it. Somebody punched them in the face.
Oh,
I think he wanted to punch in the stomach. Anyway, there was none of that going on, was it? You're a lover, not a fighter.
Absolutely. Yeah, no. We were just chilling out, taking in the artwork.
We had a lively week as well. We had Mike Kerr from Royal Blood. He was great on FaceTime. We had a little window into his flat, which I always think kind of feels a little bit voyeuristic.
It's really nice, isn't it? Because so far, everyone's had a lovely... They've had a lovely place and they've been very welcoming, haven't they, whenever we've used FaceTime.
He had a lovely piano that he didn't quite show us, but I think it was probably very expensive.
I think you're probably right.
And a couple of other things in the flat, two fluffy bears that looked...
Fluffy rabbits.
Fluffy rabbits, weren't they? Yeah, that represented both members of Royal Blood. We also had the comedian Paul Chowdhury. I know you're a huge fan, Vin, as well. And he's got unusual timing, Paul Chowdhury. And that's his shtick, isn't it?
Yeah, well, he's very deadpan, which is great. It's so funny. So funny in the room, but obviously on radio you're thinking, oh, this sounds like silence because it's silence.
Yeah. And that's the thing, the awkwardness is where the comedy lies.
Yeah.
And he uses it brilliantly.
Well, he's the one in control, you know. He's the one creating those pauses. Yeah. And it's great. It's so good to watch.
It is really good. Check him out, Paul Chowdhury, on the Evening Show podcast. Plus, this week, classic albums on Monday, we did Who's Next by The Who, which I think is the best album The Who have done.
Yeah, I think you're right. I agree.
Thoroughly enjoyed it. Baba O'Reilly. I didn't know half the stories behind the album sleeve. That's all in the Evening Show podcast today. I hope you enjoy.
Radio.
Radio.
X. The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart.
You're listening to The Evening Show with me, Gordon Smart. Now, by the marvels of modern technology, we're joined in the studio by one half of one of the greatest bands in the country right now, if not the greatest band in the country right now. We've got Mike Kerr. Is he from Worthing? I think that's accurate.
Right. I am from Worthing, yeah.
Yes. That people get really particular about that. If we say you're from Brighton, a lot of unhappy punters from Worthing.
Yeah, well, the thing is, I live in Brighton, but then when we do some interview in the middle of nowhere in America and we say we're from Brighton, not Worthing, just to save a really boring conversation. You're from Worthing!
So I've got Mike from Royal Blood here. Mike, last time we spoke, you had broken ribs. Have you healed? Are you in good shape at the moment?
Yeah, I'm fully healed. Good. That sucked because it was the first gig back after like 2 years not playing a show. And then I think I was just so excited I fell over and, cracked my rib. That was frustrating, but I'm all good now.
Back to full health, which is good because we've got a brilliant Radio X session lined up next week, 27th of September, 30 people. Details how you can enter are coming up, and it's all in aid of Global's Make Some Noise. And since we last saw you, I'm going to be as authentic as I can be because I hope this doesn't come across as sycophantic, but your gig at Glastonbury was one of the best live shows I think I've ever seen. It felt like a really special moment in your career as well. What was that like for you? I mean, it sounds like a very simple question, but it looked like a magical moment for you and Ben together on stage.
Yeah, I mean, for me it was the best show. It was, I don't know, I think shows like that, or there's always something that comes up where the pressure is really on, you know, and you don't want to let yourself down. Glastonbury is obviously huge for us being from England and it being so prestigious, but then when we got up there, I think after a couple of tunes, our shoulders just dropped and we looked at each other in the eye and there was just this, like, it was just the most powerful, like, incredible experience that I've ever had. I don't even know how to explain it.
You look perfectly at home.
It was weird. It was kind of terrifying but calming at the same time. Usually when I'm playing, like, my mind can wander and for the entirety of that gig, all I could think about was like, oh my God, we're playing Glastonbury.
Yeah.
In the middle of tunes, I would look over and my parents were hanging out side of stage with like Brad Pitt, like high-fiving
Lars Ulrich.
Like, yeah, and Lars was there. And I don't know, it was incredible, yeah.
So you take that massive gig where people look like beans on toast, and then next week you're going to be playing in front of 30 people. Does that change the experience for you? Because it can be quite intimidating having people so close after playing to massive crowds like that.
Definitely, yeah. I think it's almost like the less people there are, the worse at the time. You know, because, when you've got the whites of people's eyes staring at you, it can be, it can definitely be more intimidating.
Radio X.
The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart.
Mike, when you're performing, you're on stage, I'm mesmerised by your coordination. And somebody explained the science behind this, right? Is it true that you used to be a unicycling juggler? Or was it a unicycling jugglist, or is it a juggling unicyclist? Is that true?
I don't know if I can still do it, but I can. There was a point in my life where I could juggle fire on a unicycle. So that skill set perhaps has helped in some way.
Yeah.
but I don't know if I'd like to try it again.
Yeah, it does explain, because, you know, when people ask about how you do it, I always say, well, if you try and rub your stomach and pat your head, it's like that times six.
Yeah.
It must help. It must help by experience.
Yeah, I really wanted to be a magician when I was younger. That was like my thing. I was like, I need to be like Houdini. So has that helped? Probably. I don't know. Don't know how I ended up singing and playing bass in a band. My friends still think it's really funny that I'm in like bass magazines.
It's working out very well indeed. So you're off on tour as well with Queens of the Stone Age next week.
You know what, we've already done 10 shows with them.
Well, how's it been? Has it been well behaved?
No.
We had Josh Homme in the other day, and I fear for you on that tour.
It has been like the best tour we've ever done. It has been just every show has been, there's just this electricity in the air, and the whole band are so nice, and they've completely like welcomed us into their world, and Josh is just, we haven't got long enough to explain how much we love that man.
How was your work husband Ben Thatcher coping with that? Because I'd imagine that's his arena.
Yeah, I mean, he gets to watch John Theodore play every night, who's his favourite drummer of all time. I feel like we're our understudies, you know. I feel like when I wanted to be a chef, this would have been like what it was like to like cook alongside Gordon Ramsay or something, you know. There are peers, and they're the band we look up to, and we're like, one day we want to be that good, you know.
Josh Homme says that you should live every day like it's Friday, and it feels to me like Royal Blood subscribe to that philosophy.
Yeah, I mean, he definitely lives every day like it's Friday. Yeah. I can't go anywhere near that man without having an unbelievable amount of tequila in my body.
Super.
I did hide from him once, actually, because I could hear him coming, and I was like, oh no, we're going to have to do more tequila. So I hid in the toilet of the dressing room.
That is outstanding. Absolutely brilliant. So once you've recovered from the Queens of the Stone Age gigs, you've got three nights at Ali Pali in November. But before that, Royal Blood play the Radio X Session Studio on the 27th of September, and you could be one of only 30 people there. It's all in aid of Radio X's charity, Global's Make Some Noise. To enter, text ROYAL to 83936. A one-off voluntary donation of just £3 from every text goes straight to our charity, which helps change young lives. You've got until 9 p.m. on Thursday the 21st of September to enter. Standard network rate supply. You need to be over 18 and available on September the 27th, 2017 to attend, and you've got to be able to make your own way to Leicester Square Studio. Rules at radiox.co.uk. Did you get all of that?
I got it all, yeah.
That's great, Mike. So text ROYAL to 83936. Thanks very much. Good luck with the tour next week with the boys in Queens. I hope you survive for next week.
We're going to be all right. I'm detoxing and resting.
Look after those pipes, Mr. Kerr. Look after the hands, and we'll see you next week. Thank you very much, Chief.
Nice one. Love you, man. Take care.
Radio X. The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart.
The Evening Show. Classic album of the week. X.
So last week we had a bit of a special with classic albums leading up to the Mercury Prize on Thursday. We played an album that had won the award over the last 32 years. It was a great week. We looked back at Primal Scream. That was good. Producer Vin as well got involved in the act. There are a few in there you loved as well.
Yeah, Arctic Monkeys, Franz Ferdinand, and a bit of Pulp as well.
Yeah, were you happy with the winner as well on Thursday, Sampha?
Sampha, yeah, good album.
I thought it was excellent. Dead happy. Yeah, really, really good. So classic albums Monday night. This week we're going to go a little bit further back than 32 years of the Mercury Prize, but an album that would definitely be in with a shout if it had existed in 1971. The Who and Who's Next, 46 years old, can you believe that? So 2 years before this album came out, The Who had released Tommy, which was a rock opera. Pete Townshend wanted to follow up with another rock opera because he was a bit of a creative art student, and he wanted to bring out a thing called Lifehouse, but it failed, and the band brought out all the songs in the album Who's Next, which I still think is probably their best album. Loads of thin synthesizer, easy for me to say, on Who albums. An intentional decision influenced by the engineer they were working with called Glyn Johns. It was out in Decca Records and Track Records, and most of it was recorded at the famous Olympic Studios in Barnes, West London. Some of it was recorded at Mick Jagger's house, which is the kind of thing you did at that time.
Yeah, so they laid down like the backing track for Won't Get Fooled Again. And then I think this producer, Glyn Johns, said to them, no, you know what, let's move to a bit of a more calmer environment. Yeah.
I suspect as well it was probably going Exile in Main Street shaped, which meant about 6 months for one song. So yeah, the singles on the album were Won't Get Fooled Again, Baba O'Reilly, Behind Blue Eyes, which is still my favourite Who song, and the tracklist included great songs as well, Love Ain't For Keeping My Wife and Go Mobile. It was number one in the UK, number four in the US, and it had gone platinum three times since its release. The album was a bit of a reaction to the death of the mod movement as well, which was a massive thing for The Who, if you think about Quadrophenia. And the original fan base had just disappeared, so it was all about Pete Townshend and trying to revitalise the rock sound to interest new fans, keep the audience engaged. And it was really forward-thinking, wasn't it, Vin? You were talking about that earlier on.
Because I associate this album, I think The Who is like the sort of thing that my dad used to listen to. So you know all the songs, but you don't know them as a group, as a collective. But looking at that album, it is quite forward-thinking. This Lifehouse, the rock opera they wanted to make, was about this sort of dystopian future and all these sort of this mad world where music didn't exist and the state was, you know, in control. Yeah. And it was sort of like this Orwellian thing, you know.
You've got to remember as well, they didn't have the technology just to make noises.
Well, exactly.
So if you wanted to make a sound, you had to create the instrument.
And Pete Townshend was building all this stuff himself, wasn't he? Taking apart computers and working out. You were telling me that the intro on Barbara O'Reilly took him like 6 weeks or something to make that sound.
It's the first time you could sample music, so you had to program it to make the note and then repeat it and then repeat it and layer it and layer it. And it was in this mad computer the size of your living room to try and make it work.
It sounds like a sci-fi thing. It's not just guitars, is it? You know,
they really were cutting edge at this stage of their career. The song I keep talking about as well, Behind Blue Eyes, I love it. It was written about Townshend being tempted by a woman he met at a gig before he came back to his hotel room alone. The band initially found it hard to record and play because it was written from the point of view of a villain. Lots of messages in there, but what a song it is. Still brilliant live. It's still viewed by many as The Who's best record. I'm going to play you two songs from it right now. Enjoy this. Classic albums on Radio X on The Evening Show. Baba O'Reilly and Won't Get Fooled Again.
The Evening Show. Classic album of the week. X.
Radio. X. The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart.
Oh no!
The Evening Show. Classic album of the week.
X.
I'm Gordon Smart and this is The Evening Show on Radio X, and we're doing classic albums. What an album tonight. The Who and Who's Next, 46 years old, and that song I just played you was Won't Get Fooled Again, a magnificent protest song. Pete Townshend said it was a song that screams defiance at those who feel any cause is better than no cause. And bassist John Entwistle, he later said that the song showed Townshend saying things that really matter to him and saying them for the first time. Speaking of John Entwistle, if you've never explored isolated drumming or isolated bass on the internet, then try it. This is spectacular, right? He was a magical and mesmeric bass player. So here's a little bit of isolated bass, a bit of John Entwistle from Won't Get Fooled Again. Listen to that. It's great, isn't it? He plays bass like he's a lead guitar. Really famous for his style as well. Pick up a new guitar. Superb, isn't it? Hours of fun listening to that. John Entwistle, what a bass player. Normally in a band you have one or two characters, but in The Who you had four: Daltrey, Moon, Entwistle, Townsend. What a band they were. So just to say as well that that came from the teachings of Mayor Baba, Townsend's spiritual leader, and was initially written to describe reaching enlightenment. Before that I played Baba O'Reilly. The song's become a real rock anthem, celebrated by many as an act of defiance. It was actually written to criticise the desolation of teenagers at Woodstock. Townsend said that teenagers were all strung out on acid and developed brain damage. The line "Teenage Wasteland, We're All Wasted" was supposed to be a criticism. The song was originally 30 minutes long, but was edited down just to the high points. What a brilliant couple of songs they were. And if you've seen the cover, the cover's a photo of the band walking away from a concrete block in a quarry, and they've just weed on it, I think is the safest way to pronounce that. It was taken by Ethan Russell and was a reference to the monolith in 2001, A Space Odyssey, which came out the year before. John Entwistle and Keith Moon were massive fans of the film, but apparently they all got stage fright and they couldn't do the deed, so Russell used rainwater tipped from a film canister to get the desired effect in the picture. What a brilliant album that was tonight, The Who and Who's Next from 1971. I'll be doing another classic album next week. Get your suggestions in 83936 and at Radio X.
Radio
X. The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart.
Last month, The Killers paid me a visit on the evening show. For some reason, I thought drummer Ronnie Vannucci Jr. had a bit of mischief about him. So, from now on, we will always refer to him as Trouble Car. And Ronnie the Trouble Car Vannucci has been up to tricks recently, getting my old comrades in the press excited by dropping hints about his friendship with Prince Harry. He was asked about reports that he's been jamming with Harry when he's in London, and the Sticksman said, "Oh, you know, he's a great kisser. We became pals 10 years ago. We just get along." Then he added, "I knew nothing about the Royals, so when I met him, he was just a dude. I'm a dude in a band, and he's a dude in London." Then he was asked if Prince Harry's famous naked pool scandal in Vegas was any of his doing, and the Trouble Car replied, "That was not my fault. I wasn't there for that one." I'm not sure I believe him that much. Anyway, here's The Killers for you now on Radio X. This is Run for Cover.
Radio X. The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart.
I'm very excited about our next guest, one of the finest comedians of his generation. 35 million views on Facebook of all his videos. He's been on Taskmaster. But I'm most impressed. Since the last time we spoke, he's been on Celebrity Squares on ITV. Paul Chowdhury's in the house.
Doesn't get bigger than that, does it?
We're going to applaud.
Doesn't get bigger than that.
Three of us are applauding. How's the tour going? Because this is an extension of Live, isn't it, that you're about to announce?
Yeah, we're about to announce that. The tour is currently around 107 shows.
That's amazing, isn't it?
Including another 20 in Australia.
Yeah. How far in are you now of 107?
I think about 7.
Right, so, so the enthusiasm is still pretty
this
high.
This is the point where you find me alive.
Yeah.
And then, you know what happens after that, mate.
We do see quite a lot of comedians who come through as part of the tour, and there is a look in the eye that is somebody that's seen too many service stations around the country.
Yeah.
It's not all glamour, is it?
When I did the Edinburgh and Glasgow run, Scotland run, I took the train on those ones, but now I'm going to hit the car tomorrow.
Yeah. Well, paint a picture of that for us. When you're in the car, do you sort of a Spotify playlist? Is it radio that's on? Podcast? How do you pass
the time?
Sit
in the back. Put your earphones in.
Yeah.
Don't talk to anyone else. Radio X.
Yes.
All the way, you know?
All the way.
You guys keep us going. If it wasn't for you lot, us lot would be listening to a different channel.
We employ quite a few comedians as well. There's probably a job there for you at some stage. Yeah, it's been a proud history.
You guys got to give me a show then.
Get involved.
Get me off the motorway service stations.
We've had your mates, Widdicombe's been on, Ricky Gervais, all that.
Have you had any real comedians on?
No, this could be the opportunity.
All right.
So I'm saying is, yeah. So talking about the tour as well then, so you're now announcing what I call Wembley, but you've got your own name for it as well.
Oh, Wembley.
Wembley, is that
what you're trying to pronounce?
No, we call it Wembley, the Scots.
Oh, Wembley.
English people always say Wembley, mate, isn't it? Off to Wembley, but what do you call it?
Wembley.
Wembley.
I just did an ident and now it's become a bit of a catchphrase.
It's stuck.
My fans are shouting out Wembley.
Yeah.
At me in the street. Right to my face, Wembley.
How do you respond?
I say it's Wembley, mate.
Wembley.
Yeah, Wembley.
Do you have a preference about gigs, you know? Because I'd imagine it's a different vibe on stage for you. Performing to a small room can be a really electric feeling, I'd imagine, but that's a different kettle of fish entirely, isn't it?
Yeah, when you perform to, say, you know, the sizes vary. I'm going for like 200s to 10,000s on this tour. So some of them are 300, some of them are 2,000. I did Birmingham Symphony the other day, which is built for orchestra and music, and it's 2,200 seats with three tiers.
Yeah.
So it's like playing on Opera House, and then I come out and just contaminate the place. You
know? What about the nerves? Because I remember last time we spoke 5 years ago, I think you seem like a really composed and comfortable person all the time, but there must be butterflies in there when you walk out.
Do I look any different now?
Yeah. No, you don't. Your moustache has improved.
I've aged quite drastically since those days.
Yeah.
Yeah, I look quite young in those days, probably. You guys look younger these days, don't you, Gordon?
That's because I've given up the tabloid misery.
I mean, you must be a few years younger
than
me.
I'm 37. We're a similar sort of age, aren't we?
43.
You're 43? You're 43?
Yeah.
I thought you were younger than that, actually.
You're a baby man compared to me, but for Scotland.
For Scotland.
That's quite old.
Well, I've got 3 years left, is how I'm looking at it.
I'm an OAP in Glasgow.
That's how I'm looking at it.
Radio. X. The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart.
That was Katabian on Radio X. You're listening to The Evening Show with me, Gordon Smart, and the eternally youthful Paul Chowdhury.
We had to go to a break after I told you how old I was.
Total shock. I've got to ask you, I'm writing a book at the moment, right?
Really?
I really hope you can help me with this. It's a totally juvenile and infantile book about the most famous people I've encountered in toilets. But you know, you found yourself then, you've got to make a bit of conversation. You must have found yourself in that situation a number of times with the gigs you've done. Who's the most famous person you've been at a urinal beside?
So many, man.
Yeah. Doing the Apollo gig as well, you must find yourself in... Mind you, you've got your own dressing room.
I've got my own toilet. Yeah. You know, I don't need to stand next to people.
So what we found out is Paul Chowdhury only ever goes to the toilet.
Well, the last one, I suppose, was the Apollo with Russell Brand.
Yes.
But he's a mate of mine because we started off together.
Yeah, yeah.
So I wouldn't really consider him someone I'm just stood next to getting into a conversation with.
Yeah, yeah.
And that was just after he did Question Time with Nigel Farage. So we were talking about that idea, Reynolds, while everyone else was listening.
That's the most highbrow toilet conversation you can get involved in, really.
Thanks, Paul. Thanks. Really means a lot to me, mate.
It's a really good Russell Brand impression, that.
Is it?
It is.
First time I've done that.
Radio X is Russell Brand. There's another comedian that you could steal a job from. Right, we're going to play another song.
I've got a book coming out.
Have you really tell us about it?
I just released it, actually. I release it at my shows. I mean, I call it a book, but it's more like a program, like 4 or 5 pages long. But I sign it at the end.
That must have been a slog to write that one.
Yeah, I mean, I got the audio version. It takes like 2 minutes to read.
So. Well, you got somebody else to read your audiobook, which is 6 pages long.
Q&As.
Who would you get to do it? Just out of interest.
Probably get you to do it, man.
I'm happy to do it.
You can pronounce all the words.
Vambly.
Radio X. The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart.
This is The Evening Show with me, Gordon Smart. I'm still joined by Paul Chowdhury, the greatest comedian of his generation. You will see that on posters very soon. He's a very funny man. 35 million views of his videos on Facebook, which is staggering. That was Oasis, Songbird.
Great song. Yeah.
You're an Oasis fan, actually.
Yeah, I'm a big Oasis fan. I've been listening to them since, you know, like their first album, actually.
Well, we're the same generation. 94, you'd have been a teenager around that time.
You would have been a baby in those days.
I'd have been asking you to buy me drink.
I would have been asking. You'd have been asking me to buy you cigarettes.
Such a very Scottish thing to say, isn't it? Where are you living now?
I'm down in... I won't tell you the exact location, because people... I mean, we know we've got 3-4 billion listeners here, so... I've actually had to move house, because I was in a flat before, but I kept on getting followed back, so...
Really?
Yeah.
That's pretty scary, isn't it?
You know, at my level of Z-list celebrity fame.
Because you talk about this about on the tour as well, about sort of dating in the social media age.
Yeah.
Because that's a different world to me. I've been married for such a long time. I just can't imagine what it's like. So could you give us a little picture?
When did you get married?
In 2003. 14
really?
Years, yeah, yeah.
14 years.
For my own
now.
Good, yeah, yeah.
To keep you got married young.
I had to.
You must have been about, what, 22?
I was, yeah, exactly, 22, yeah, yeah.
That's quite old for Scotland, though, isn't it?
It was, yeah.
You
guys getting quite married,
12, 13.
Yeah, well, that's right. I held back for 10 years at least.
Was it arranged, though?
It was, yeah, yeah. I mean, that's how it works up there, mainly, you know. And it's mainly based on what you like to drink. And we both love Buckfast, so everything was fine.
It's like a drip feed, isn't it?
It is. Yeah, when you're in Edinburgh, you spent loads of time in Edinburgh.
I love Edinburgh, you know.
It's like a second home for a lot of comedians.
Yeah.
What was your favourite Edinburgh sort of... If you had to give somebody a little tip about going up there?
You know, so many things going on in Edinburgh. I used to do the late night gigs. I think if you want to really experience the real people.
Yeah.
I wouldn't say real people, but the really drunk people. It's gone to a comedy show at 4 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah.
And you see what comics are really like. That's when their true colours will come out. Yeah. That's when you see the breakdowns.
You give me some brilliant answers to the best hecklers. Have you had any good ones in the last 5 years you'd share with us before you go?
There's billions. Billions.
What's the one that wakes you up in a cold sweat?
Well, I had one on, just did Symphony in Birmingham the other day, and as soon as I walk on, two guys are screaming at me, and then I actually came off mic and offered him out for a fight.
Did you?
Yeah. And security jumped in. I mean, he was in one of the tiers, and then, not crying, he was in one of the
seats. Sorry.
and then he said, you know, I said, you know, you're going to get kicked out, because he kept on heckling for like 20, 30 minutes. I said, you're going to get kicked out. He said, I'm going to get you kicked out. So what? Well, that's going to work, isn't it? 2,500 people there, and I get kicked out, and they just listen to his rubbish.
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
You handled it well.
We get a lot of heckles, man. I get them all the time at these shows.
Paul, all the best with the tour. Would you like to tell us a little bit about how you can get tickets and all that? Carry on.
Pretty much all sold out, but yeah, there's tickets for Wembley available.
It's called Wembley. Wembley, and it's live, innit?
It's live, innit? I mean, it says it all, innit? It's live.
You thought about that one for a while.
It took me a long time to come up with that one.
It's good. After all these years.
All the complications, it's live, innit? Just tells you what it says on the packet.
Paul, all the very best of Wembley.
Right, nice one,
it's great to see you again.
You too, man.
See you again in 5 years on the cycle.
15 years.
Radio X. The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart.
Now, you two released a new single last week. I'm going to play it for you in just a second. But what a year. What a year, you two. That's hard to say, isn't it? Year and you two. What a year you two are having. Touring the Joshua Tree around the world. I went to see them at Croke Park in Dublin, and it was unbelievable. They've got Beck supporting them in North America at the moment. And next month, they're heading to South America with Noel Gallagher and his High Flying Birds. Now, you can say what you like about Bono, and a lot of people do, but he's genuinely one of the best characters you could ever dream of having a drink with. And I say drink, reservoirs of booze would be more apt. I was up in Manchester a couple of weekends ago with Noel Gallagher for the opening of the Manchester Arena, and he said he can manage 3 nights in the spin before he struggles to keep it together on tour. But Bono, according to Noel, the U2 frontman just hammers it relentlessly and is still exceptional on stage every night. It's the Irish genetics, hollow legs. So is this song an ode to Guinness, I ask you, or is it tequila and soda? Is it red wine? Is it lager? Is it whiskey? This is the new one from U2, You're the Best Thing About Me.
When you look so good, the pain in your face.
Radio.
Radio.
X. The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart.
That was the Evening Show podcast from Radio X with me, Gordon Smart, and producer Vin. If you enjoyed that, please leave us a review, tell your friends all about it, and we'll be back next week with another edition of the Evening Show podcast.
Radio X.